which led the school districts enforcing a zero-tolerance policy. Administrator with the St. John's County School District, Dr. Brian Shinover, recently did a study to find out how school district size affects the fate of a zero-tolerance school. Shinover researched the 67 school districts in Florida to find out answers. Shinover explains how the Guns-Free School Act works.
Each state had to incorporate a zero-tolerance policy into their student code of conduct, which basically says if a student comes on the campus with a gun, they must be expelled for 365 days. That is a federal law. So in order for the state to continue to receive money, they have to have that somewhere in the student code of conduct.
His study deals a lot with if other types of violence have been added to the zero tolerance policy.
But since 1994, many school districts have chosen to expand that to include drugs, knives, bullying, a variety of things. So basically my study through the University of Florida was to see which of those indicators, like bullying and drugs and knives, are now included in Florida's zero-tolerance policy.
Shinover talks about how the children who break the policy deal with the civic punishments.
Basically what the study revealed is that if you are a student in a small school district in Florida, and small is less than 15,000 students, and you violate your district's zero tolerance policy, let's say you bring a knife on the campus or you do bring a gun, you are suspended or expelled and there's no place for you to go. You sit at home, and oftentimes these kids do not find themselves back into the school district. So after the 365 days out, they don't re-enroll. They just drop out. Whereas if you are in a large district, if you're in a district with more than 15,000 students, your punishment is you go to the alternative center. So those students continue to receive an education in Florida. And so there is a huge disparity. If you are, you know, have the same exact offense committed in a small district, you get this punishment. Whereas if it's in a large district, you get a different punishment. And so basically the study highlighted the fact that unfortunately, or fortunately, however you look at it, for those students in small districts in Florida, you have no options when it comes to a punishment as a zero tolerance result.
Children that bring weapons to school are violating the rules, Shinover says, but some districts have different consequences.
Again, this was a policy study, and when you're looking at weapons, almost all of the small school districts had some sort of mandatory punishment. But there still were three school districts that did not have mandatory punishments, and that would fall into zero tolerance, which means if you had a knife or a gun, let's say gun, in this small school district, and again, we're not going to mention the district's name, that doesn't mean you're going to get expelled. So, in fact, they are violating the Guns-Free School Act because the Guns-Free School Act says you have to expel the student. All the large school districts in Florida do follow the Guns-Free School Act of 1994, and they do have the expulsion. And so when I say that they can go to an alternative center, they are still technically expelled from the school district for 365 days, but in lieu of expulsion, so in place of the expulsion, they offer the kids an alternative placement center, which is, you know, just basically an alternative school.
Some of the kids that get caught with weapons are not bringing a gun on school property to start a fight or even for a vicious reason.
These are kids that, you know, show up to school with a gun or knife in the back of their truck because they were hunting this past weekend. And if you were in a small school district and someone's walking to the parking lot checking, let's say, parking decals, and they see that gun or knife in your car or your truck, you are then expelled for 365 days.
Shinover says parents usually support the policy until it's their child involved.
And the American Bar Association is calling for a nationwide suspension of executions, saying legal processes leading to these executions are deeply flawed and reforms are needed. Stephen Hamlin is chairman of the ABA committee, which spent nearly 3 years studying death penalty systems.